As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Forgive in the same way God has forgiven you. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus our Savior, giving thanks to God through Christ. A month ago, I told a friend that my pastor and his wife had invited me to speak on the occasion of their infant daughter's baptism. And she said, "What a joyous and solemn occasion." Now, I must admit, when I'm sitting in a pew and a baby's being baptized, I'm just thinking about the joyous part. The cute little baby, how they're dressed, whether they're crying, the proud parents, godparents, grandparents, relatives, everyone's beaming. So her comment about it also being a solemn occasion brought me up short. I felt the need to review. What is baptism anyway? Why do we do it? What is its role in a baby's life? I looked up baptism on Wikipedia. It says, "Baptism is a Christian rite of admission or adoption, almost invariably with the use of water, into the Christian church generally, and also a particular church tradition. We baptize partly because Christians have done it as long as there have been Christians, for 20 centuries. And we've been doing it that long because we know that Jesus was baptized and because Jesus told his disciples to baptize. This much I knew. What I didn't know, though, was that when Christianity was young, baptism was a defining act of the church. For the first couple of centuries, non-baptized persons were not allowed into the place where communion was being served. They had to remain out in the narthex until the service was over. They could sing and listen and pray along with the congregation, but until their baptism was complete, they were not allowed to worship with everyone else. At that point in history, people didn't just decide to be baptized. The students studied hard for 2 years. And then were baptized on Easter morning, naked. Now be honest, how many of you would be baptized today if we baptized only adults in public, naked? Do I even need to research why infant baptisms came along? This is a solemn and joyous day, but wouldn't you think if it's that monumental that we'd remember something about our own baptism? The day, the events, the pledges. But of course, that's not likely since most of us were baptized as infants. I was baptized as a baby by my paternal grandfather, a UCC minister, in the front room of my maternal grandparents' home. But my first conscious memory of anything to do with God was marching off to Sunday school to the hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." When I was in seventh grade, I made my first commitment to God when I joined the Methodist Church. I mostly dropped out of church going in college, attended more regularly during graduate school when I began dating a young Catholic man, perhaps as a balance for attending Mass with him. But as mid-20-somethings, we both quit going. And then came my first big life crisis. After 6 years of dating and a wedding on the horizon, my fiancé was killed in an industrial accident. I was devastated. He and I were a world unto ourselves, and I felt very much alone. And looking back, this is where my baptism first kicked in. The Sunday schools, vacation Bible schools, confirmation classes, church attendance had planted seeds that lay dormant through years of neglect. Now God watered them with my tears, and the seeds sprouted and grew. My infant baptism was the birth of a life of growth. On that day, I became an adopted daughter of God, and he waited patiently for me for many years. I was part of God's family all that time. He led me to new friends and a new church. If you remember your baptism, you remember that you are not alone. You remember that the family of faith not only needs from you, but prays for you. I learned I could rely on God to always be there. He was unchangeable, and life had shown me that nothing else was. He remains that constant in my life today. He has seen me through other crises, infertility, separation, divorce, deaths, and still he is there holding me, loving me, seeing me through. Baptism is not just the isolated event of community and water and spirit and prayer. It is the journey of life, the ongoing blessing and promise, the ongoing call to ministry to each one of us, not just the ordained among us. We can remember our baptism because it's not just that thing that happened perhaps before we could form memories, but it is the grace that continues to this day and on into the future. It pledges us to a process of faith throughout life. I can look back over the decades in my life and see the evolution of my walk with God and what I am called to this year. It is how I can remember my baptism, and each of you can do the same. I may not remember the details of my baptism day literally, but I remember my daughters. I dressed her in a beautiful red and white dress, black, white tights, black patent leather shoes. She looked gorgeous with her dark eyes and hair. And during the ceremony, she played a little game and demanded to be passed back and forth to her dad and me, much to the entertainment of the congregation. But I also remember thinking solemnly about what I was promising as a parent, that I would raise this child with a knowledge of God's love. I wanted to impart to her the qualities mentioned in today's scripture: compassion, kindness, forgiveness, gratitude, joy. No small task. My parental vow was put to the test when she was a teenager. By that time, I was a single mother. Almost every time we arrived in the church parking lot on Sunday morning, she'd huff out of the car whining, "Dad never makes me go to church when I'm with him. I don't see why I have to go with you." My reply was always the same: "Because I made a promise when you were baptized, and I intend to keep it. When you get to be 18, you can decide for yourself whether you want to go to church or not. But my job is to plant seeds that I hope will be there for you when tough things happen in your life, as they do to most of us at one time or another. And I want you to have God to fall back on." As soon as she went away to college, she did stop attending church. Occasionally, when she's home for a visit, she attends here. She knows a few people. Joan Blair was her kindergarten teacher. Barb Harlan is her godmother. She knows the Fights and Jean Matthews' welcoming smile. When she was home for Mother's Day this year, she came and brought her significant boyfriend with her. They sat towards the back. From my perch in the choir, I watched for hints of the old eye rolling and saw only occasional whispers back and forth between them. When we got home that day, I asked her what she thought of the anthem. "The choir sounded good," she said politely, and then went on, "Everyone is so friendly in that church. Robert and I were saying that we'd love to find a church just like it where we live." Germinating seeds. My mother had a tradition that I treasured. After I moved away from home, every year on my birthday, she would call me and say, "I remember the day you were born." And then she'd tell me the story. She didn't put the gory details in, how many hours of labor it was or anything like that. It was more the story of the joy and the thrill my birth had brought her and how it had changed her life. When she died 8 years ago, my father, who was never one for talking on the telephone, took over the tradition and began calling me on my birthday saying, "I remember the day you were born." and I heard the story from another point of view, how he'd paced and waited in the waiting room with his mother-in-law, because that was before the days when fathers were allowed in the delivery room, how he'd passed out cigars and even smoked one, though he didn't smoke. Many of you know that I lost my father this January, and my birthday this April was rough. I was in tears off and on all day long. I had heard my story for the last time. I went to bed with swollen eyes, woke up at 2 a.m., and tossed and turned until dawn. The next morning's familiar drizzle matched my mood. That afternoon, the phone rang, a familiar voice I couldn't place. "You don't know who this is, do you? This is your Aunt Juana, my mother's sister who lives in Michigan." She said, "I'm so sorry to be calling late for your birthday. I looked all day yesterday for your phone number but couldn't find it, and I was so frustrated." Now, I don't remember my aunt ever calling me on my birthday before. Plus, she has Alzheimer's. So for her to remember that it was my birthday, persevere an entire day to find my phone number, and then manage to dial all 10 digits of it, were all part of a miracle. I was speechless. Before I could find a response, she continued, "Well, I just had to call you and tell you that I remember the day you were born." What wondrous welcome words. We had a wonderful chat, and sometime after, I went out to get the mail. There was a birthday card from my aunt and uncle in Bellevue in my uncle's handwriting for the first time ever. His handwritten note inside said, "How well I remember the day you were born." It felt like God herself was celebrating my birth, my life. She even put it in writing for me. It was one of the most powerful experiences of my life to know I am loved by God so passionately. And this is part of what today is for. We are witnessing the baptism of a family member. Someday in the future, she may come visit us long after her family has moved away to visit her daddy's first church. And some one of us, or ones of us, are going to go up to her and say, "Oh, Dana Lynn, how nice to see you. I remember the day you were baptized." And we'll tell her the story, and she will feel anew how much God loves her. So today is both joyous and solemn. Baptism is the beginning of a person's spiritual journey. It's the beginning of knowing how passionately we are loved by God. We baptize because we Christians always have. We baptize to initiate new Christians into the faith. We baptize to remember our own baptisms. Baptism is a symbolic act, but it's not what forges our spiritual and religious character. That's why we promise with God's help as parents, as teachers, and as a congregation to help this child along her faith's path the best we know how. In a sense, this baby is baptized through her eyes and her ears every time she comes to church here by the love and warmth of all of us. Dana Lynn, we're all here for you. Welcome to the family.